Welcome to the Wildlife Around You Show, a casual nature podcast with your hosts, Blaine
and Lainey,
both nature enthusiasts. Hello.
Hi there.
How are things?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
So what wildlife have you come across lately?
So recently, while we were camping, it was raining and a pretty good sized spider climbed in between our rain fly and the top of the tent. So the only reason why this is cool is because the spider was not inside our tent. And the very top of our tent is mesh. And so it just hung out up at the very top and it would adjust. Like sometimes it would sit on the tent, but most of the time it hung out on the rain fly. I don't think it liked the feel of the mesh, but it was a pretty good size. Maybe size of your palm, like with the legs. It's kind of a light brown.
So, yeah, hung out for a few days.
Yeah. And it's really fun shining the light on it at night to see if it was still there and could see its eyes glowing. What about you?
Similarly, on that camping trip, we also had lots of caterpillars. Mm-hmm. Several caterpillars on our tent. We had ones hanging from the silk strands on the trails we were walking along, and then several along the wildflowers. So lots of caterpillars.
Yep.
Getting their food, getting ready to start morphing.
Yeah. Luckily, we didn't run into any of the silks, at least not in our face.
Not this time.
Yeah.
So what are we going to learn about today?
We are going to learn about the great blue heron.
So what can you tell us about the great blue heron?
It is the largest heron in North America. They're tall. They're 38 to 53 inches tall, and they weigh between 4.5 and 5.5 pounds. And their wingspan is between 65 and 79 inches. They're a blue-gray color, which is why they're the blue heron. And they have wide black stripe over their eye. And they curl their neck into an S shape, which is different than cranes. They do it when they're sitting there as well, not just in flight.
Yep. It's one of the big differences between cranes and herons. Those herons will bend their neck into that curve, whether they're standing or sitting or whatever. Cranes keep it pretty straight.
Yeah.
They also do it when they fly.
Which is interesting because sometimes they look a lot shorter and squatter than they are. And then when they are getting ready to pounce on your strike to get their food, they stretch their neck back out. In flight, their upper side is two-tone. They have pale on the forewing and darker on their flight wings. And they almost always tuck their neck in during flight. And they can fly pretty quickly. They fly between 20 and 30 miles per hour. There is an all-white variety in Florida and the Caribbean that is slightly larger, which I would like to see that. Oh, shucks. We're going to have to go back to the Caribbean.
Yeah, they're large birds. One of the ways you can always tell if you see like water fowl flapping their wings, you're like, is that a crane? Is that a heron? Is the neck. Cranes, it's sticking way out there. Yeah. Herons, it's tucked up nice and neat. Places you can find these great blue herons. Pretty common most places, as long as you don't live in the mountains. So from southern Canada down to the north parts of South America, you can find them. They're found around saltwater, freshwater, marshes, coasts, riverbanks, lakes, etc. They're one that routinely we can find here anytime there's a pond in a neighborhood or from recent rains or anything like that, where there's mostly still water. Sometimes along creeks you'll find them, but look along the shore and you'll find them tucked in there.
Yeah. I rarely see them up in trees. It's usually they're along the bank. Sometimes, you know, they'll be standing on rocks as well, but yeah, we see them regularly. Yeah. Even just driving around in our neighborhood, there's a couple of small bodies of water and we see them there regularly.
Yeah. There's a few sections of along trails that we've walked where you might see them in trees, but most of the time they're easier to spot a lot of times if they're along the shores and the water.
Yep.
Why do they love water? That's where their food is.
Yes, it is.
They love fish, frogs. They'll even eat small mammals and reptiles and insects. as you're talking about, the wade into the shallow water and stand really still and wait for food to move, and then they just strike super fast. And surprisingly for some, mice make up a large part of their diet, which is not what you would think they would find along waterways. But
that surprises me. I would think that they would stick with just, you know, amphibians, fish, anything that lives close to water, which mice may, obviously.
Yeah. We've seen a few tackling and swallowing pretty good sized fish. That's kind of remarkable of like, you're really going to get that thing down there, down your throat?
You're not going to choke.
Because they catch it and then they kind of flip it around and send it down head first, usually is what it seems like. It doesn't get caught. They choke on it, but they can fit pretty large animals down there.
And it is interesting watching them as they are holding still. Like there will be some times when they will move closer, but it's like they're moving in super slow-mo with their feet and legs. It's rather amazing how still they can be.
Yeah, they tend to be much stiller than we're holding still when they're hunting versus the egrets. Mm-hmm. Egrets kind of shuffle around and stir it up and wait for something to move and then strike it, where the green herons and blue herons just sit there motionless for long periods of time and then strike. So what do they do for nesting?
So they mainly nest in trees. And this is interesting. They nest in colonies of 500 or plus with individual nests. Their nests are usually 20 to 60 feet above ground. The males arrive first and settle the nesting site, and then they bring materials to build the nest, and then the female constructs the nest. And their nest can be 20 inches to 4 feet across and 3 feet deep.
Big nests, yeah. Big birds.
Yeah.
So within these nests, they usually have 1 to 2 broods a year, which are for 2 to 6 eggs in each of those clutches. And the eggs are 2.5 to 3 inches long, and then they incubate them for about a month. And then the young, once they hatch, are capable of flight in about 60 days. So not the fastest birds to fledge and fly, but they get there.
Yep.
And then their average lifespan is about 15 years.
Which seems pretty old for a bird.
That's a pretty good lifespan. So what kind of fun facts do we have for great blue herons?
So they have specialized feathers on their chests that will grow continuously, and then they fray into a powder, and the powder can be used to clean off fish slime.
Yeah, sometimes if you look on the front of them, it's like, what is that? That's gross.
Yeah.
Self-cleaning.
Yes. To keep cool on hot days, they will droop their wings and open their beak to increase evaporation. It's called gular fluttering, and it looks like a bird is panting.
Yep. Several birds do that.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see that because it gets nice and hot here.
Boy, it does. But some other fun facts.
Their knees are up under their feathers. What we see function more like our ankles, and then they walk on their toes. So everything that you see and you think, you're like, oh, that's the knee, that's the ankle. No, it's actually toes and ankles, and the knees are way up where you can't see anything. Because birds like to be weird that way. And then their long S-shaped necks can make it difficult for them to swallow long or large food whole. And so some have actually been known to choke to death if they tackle something too big. So there is that risk of biting off more than you can chew.
Aha! Uh-huh. Yeah, there have been a few times of, are you sure that wasn't too much for you to eat? That
may not have been the wisest dinner choice.
But I think they're really pretty birds. And when they're flying, they seem very graceful. Where they're sometimes watching cranes, like, cranes' necks will kind of bob up and down. I like watching herons. They're lovely.
Yeah. And depending on how old they are and the time of year, you can get a little different plumage. You can get some dark navies with the grays and find them in trees and other stuff. We've seen them in several different stages of molting and plumage. Fun birds to see and readily available around us.
Yeah. So let us know when you see some. We hope you feel inspired to be someone who is more aware of the nature around you. We also hope that you have enjoyed this episode and learned something new about wildlife that may be around you.
For more information about getting outdoors and to see our photos and videos of the wildlife we talk about, follow us on Instagram at @aporterexplorer and @getoutsidedaily.
to ensure you don't miss a future episode, be a subscriber to our podcast. A new episode comes out weekly.
If you really liked it and are willing, please be one of our favorite people and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'd love to see what you have to say. It helps spread the word so more can enjoy what is around them.
And don't forget to tell your friends about what you've learned with us. Everyone wins when we spend more time with nature.
You can find show notes for all our episodes at aporterexplorer.com/podcast. Until next time, we encourage you to get outside daily to see what is around you and to get back to nature.